Welcome to episode 1441 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we begin a special series on the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus continued his work through ordinary men and women who were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, carrying the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the known world. It is a story of courage, sacrifice, unity, and mission. A reminder that the same Spirit who empowered the early church still calls and equips God's people today. The first part of our series focuses on a disciple who was transformed from fisherman to shepherd. Acts of the Apostles, Part 1, Chapter 1.
My name is Shimon, Simon, Simon bar Jonah. That is what my father called me. That is what my mother called me when she was angry, and what my brother Andrew called me when he wanted something. But there is another name, a name I was given on the day that changed everything. The day I met a rabbi who looked at me the way you look at something you intend to use for a very important purpose. He called me Petros, Peter, the rock. I have spent the rest of my life trying to figure out if that was a description or a promise. But we are not there yet. Before there is a rock, there is sand. Before there is Petros, there is Simon, a fisherman's son from a backwater village, living in a region the rest of Israel mostly preferred to ignore. Let me tell you where I come from. The Sea of Galilee. I know what you are imagining, something vast and terrible, like the Great Sea where ships vanish in storms and come back as stories. No. The Kinneret, that is what we called it, the Kinner, the harp, because of its shape, is perhaps 13 miles from north to south, 8 miles across. You can see the other shore on a clear day. You can shout across it if the wind is right, though I never tried. But do not let its size deceive you. The Kinneret can turn. The hills that ring it, the Golan Heights to the east, the slopes of Arbel to the west, they funnel the wind down in ways that can capsize a man in minutes. I have seen storms rise in the time it takes to gut a fish. I grew up watching that water, the way some men watch the sky, looking for signs, reading it. It was my inheritance, my schoolroom, and my employer for more years than I can count. Our village was Bethsaida. Philip, Andrew, and I, we were all from there. A fishing village on the northern shore, not far from where the Jordan spills into the lake. Not large, not important, not the kind of place anyone wrote about. That is the thing about Galilee, you see. We were the north, the edge, the mixed territory. 700 years before my birth, the Assyrians had swept through and scattered our ancestors, and other peoples had come in, and the blood and the culture had mixed and mingled in ways that made the men of Jerusalem look down their noses at us. They called us Am Ha'aretz, people of the land. It was not a compliment. The prophet Isaiah had called it Galil HaGoyim, Galilee of the Gentiles, the land of the nations. I did not think much about that when I was young. I was too busy learning to fish. My father Jonah was a fisherman, his father before him. When you are the son of a fisherman in Galilee, there is not much question about what you will become. We worked at night mostly. The tilapia and the sardines, we called them mushed, the combfish. They rise toward the surface in darkness when the water cools. So you go out at dusk and you come back at dawn, your arms aching, your clothes smelling of brine and scales, your eyes burning from a night without sleep. And then you mend your nets, and then you sell what you caught, and then you sleep for a few hours, and then you do it again.
Bar Jonah, what do you have today?
Young Simon.
40 pounds of mushed. Good catch.
I'll give you 3 denarii.
5, these are large.
4, and I'm being generous.
4 it is, but I want payment before I unload.
I learned to negotiate before I could read. In Galilee, you had to. The fish merchants, the boat owners, the men who controlled the processing facilities on the shore, they all wanted their cut. And above them all was the tax collector. You want to understand the world I grew up in? Understand the tax collector. Rome taxed the fish. They taxed the boats. They taxed the nets. They issued licenses for the right to fish in waters that God had given freely to Israel since the beginning. And the men who collected those taxes, often our own people, men who had sold their loyalty for Roman gold, they were the most despised figures in any fishing village. They were collaborators. They were unclean. They were the most visible symbol of everything that was wrong with the world. I knew a tax collector once. Before I knew what I know now, I wanted nothing to do with him. You will hear more about that later.
Bar tov, Andrei. Ma shlomcha hayom?
There's fresh barley bread, olives, and some fish from yesterday's catch. The figs are on the table, and I've warmed the lentils.
I should tell you about my family. My wife, I have not spoken her name in years. Not because I have forgotten her, but because her name is precious to me, like a stone you keep in your pocket but do not take out in public. She was patient with me in ways I did not deserve. A fisherman's wife is not a woman who sits by the window waiting. She worked. She managed our household while I was on the water at night. She raised our children while I slept through the mornings. She kept things together. When I eventually left, when the rabbi came and I followed, she understood in a way I still do not entirely understand. Or perhaps she did not understand, and she simply trusted. Sometimes trust looks like understanding from the outside. My mother-in-law lived with us. You will hear about her too before long. And then there was Andrew, my brother. Andrew was 2 years younger than me, and in many ways, more naturally suited to the kind of life we eventually lived. He was quieter, more careful, better at listening. I was always the loud one. Andrew heard things I shouted over. We fished together. We argued together. We grew up together in a village small enough that you could not avoid anyone, which meant that if you had a disagreement with your brother, you worked it out before sundown, or you both went to bed miserable.
Peter's story reminds us that God often begins his greatest work in the most ordinary places. Before Peter became the rock on which Christ would build his church, he was simply Simon, a fisherman shaped by family, hard work, disappointments, and the rhythms of everyday life. God is still in the business of calling ordinary people, using the experiences that seem mundane and unnoticed to prepare them for purposes far greater than they can imagine. To be continued.